Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, it is the last episode of 2021. It is episode 43 of Powered4.tv Big Fight Weekly with myself, Stuart Palmer, and my co-host and cousin, as always, Chris Hume. Chris, the last show of 2021. And 43 shows in. Can you believe it?
Yeah, but it's been a good long ride, hasn't it? We've had some absolutely fantastic fights, you know, along the way since we started the show. So it's been, you know, utterly enjoyable. We've had some fantastic comments. You know, you've got to jump out and say Brett Thomas and his constant Jake and Logan Paul, you know, comments for the whole almost 12 months of us doing this. So there's been some sure good highlights. I'm thinking maybe when we come back in the new year, we talk about the whole highlights of, you know, of 2021 and all the fights we've seen and, you know, give it a good wrap up.
Absolutely. And thank you to all the guests that have come on as well, because we've had a few of them, haven't we? We've tried to mix it up. It wasn't just about reviewing, previewing. We've tried to mix it up. You know, we've tried to develop our own interview techniques as well. You know, it's been a test for myself as well, going live every week, Chris, because I was pre-recorded with the wrestling show. But yeah, a big thank you to Alty Thomas, Jake Cross, Chili Willie. We've had Liam McGeary, you know, former Bellator MMA heavyweight champion on. Chris, I'm forgetting someone as well. Steve Robinson, a big
Dave prospect. Faulkner.
Dave Faulkner, yes, my boss at Superstar Pro, former Ultimate Fighter alumni. So yeah, thank you all for coming on the show. We'll get them back on as well, Chris. There's no question of that.
Oh yeah, we'll also get, you know, everybody else. But, you know, me and we're all still trying to get other people on. So, you know, next year when we come back, you know, our mission is to get other people on so everyone else can have a good conversation with them, not just, you know, not just us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much to everyone. It's been brilliant. It's been fantastic. And the first order of business today, Chris, you called it last week. You said how chocked this card was. It's UFC 269. So the opening portion of the show is MMA heavy. And we will go into Jake Paul and Woodley too in the middle, somewhere around the middle, then the boxing. But yeah, Chris, without further ado, what a main event. And Charles Oliveira submits Dustin Poirier and proves the doubt is wrong, as you've written in the headline there. Chris, the floor is yours with this one to begin the episode.
Mate, I loved it. And I did say to you how quite evenly matched you were. And I did say about Charles Oliveira being a bit chinny and getting dropped. But I can't think of the word now. All this excitement, Stuart. I was blown away of how Charles Oliveira took the punches and the power punches from Dustin Poirier in the first two rounds. Dustin Poirier looked fantastic. You know, he was catching Charles Oliveira as he was coming in, but he was catching him, as I told you, that walking left to right cross. And it was, you know, it was hurting Charles Oliveira. You could see who had the strong, the powerful punch between the pair of them. But what I liked about what Charles Oliveira mixed in here, Stuart, was when he got him in the clinch, he was going to that body and he was using those knees, you know, in the first couple of rounds, you know, to take the momentum and, I suppose, the cardio away from Dustin Poirier. But he was coming in with those elbows as well. And I said to you about Charles Oliveira is how he's mixed things up now and he's so much more fluid with his striking game. But, you know, he had to be a bit more on it in the first couple of rounds because Dustin Poirier looked really, really strong. We go to, like, you know, when Charles when Charles Oliveira took down Dustin Poirier, this is when I start to worry. Dustin Poirier, I understand that he didn't want to come out the guard You know, it's a dangerous game. And I said to you last week, Stuart, about Charles Oliver's ground game being elite. And I said to you about he's got the most submissions in UFC, you know, which he has. And he's not far off from the most wins in the UFC as well now. I think you think he's on 18 or 19 wins in his career in the UFC, yeah. Which is, you know, no easy feat. But it was a really, really good chess match. But yeah, Charles has beat him up on the ground. As you can see the picture in front of you.
That tells its own story, that graphic that you've picked, Chris. That just tells you that's a man getting smothered on the ground. And the elbow is, you know, lovely there, just on the side of the face, Chris.
Yeah, and he hit several of those on the when he was in Dustin Poirier's guard. And Dustin, obviously, as I said, he didn't want to come out of it. He's alluded to why he didn't want to come out of it in his post-fight press conference. And, you know, I can understand, but he needed a bit more movement and he needed to sort of get some oomph because he got stuck there, I think, pretty much the entire of the second round. You know, and you look for, actually, if you go back to the second round when they're both about to engage and Dustin's all smiling and happy, pulling his tongue out. And then you go to the third round, his face is a completely different story, you know, and Charles Oliveira put him against the cage, you know, took his back and does what he's done multiple times is in that stand-up guillotine. Oh, sorry, stand-up rear naked choke, not guillotine, my bad. And he got Escudero in his UFC debut with this and it was, you know, a really tight squeeze. You know, Dustin did his best to fight him off. I think Dustin alluded to he thought Oliveira was going to slip. But, you know, he's never going to slip from those situations. Charles Oliveira is like a stick insect. Once he's on, he's got you. But a fantastic win for Charles Oliveira. I said to you last week that I wouldn't be too bothered who won this fight because I thought, you know, they're both blue-collared, you know, in mainstays of the UFC. Everyone loves them. But you can't argue that Charles Oliveira just looks like a different animal to all those years ago.
Absolutely, you know, he's had the losses in his career, you know, early on in the UFC. It's just incredible to see. I tell you what, I was impressed with his striking against one of the best strikers. You know, he did. It wasn't just about the jiu-jitsu, was it, Chris? He did very well. He was very, very good. He was strong with the striking. I was very impressed. He's also took a shot at Gaethje because Gaethje was questioning him. I did like that. That could be setting up for next year. And what a 2022 at lightweight, Chris. When you look that, you know, we've got Beneil Dariush and Makhachev going at it. We've got Justin Gaethje in the mix, obviously number one contender. What a 2022 and an early 2022 we're going to have at lightweight in the UFC.
Well, yeah, obviously then you've got our Notorious Ones coming back and he's very... He's made his play here. I've seen a picture this morning, and it's a picture of him with the new UFC belt. He doesn't have that because he's not won a title. He hasn't won a title in a long time, but he's got the new UFC belt, and it must be in the gym. And it's, you know, when's my date for the title shot? He's not getting a title shot. I'd be frustrated. I'd be pissed off if I see Conor McGregor versus Charles Oliveira, unless he's won a couple of fights to get that shot. And I can't see him. I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go.
Michael Chandler
makes more sense for me.
Cloud Cuckoo Land. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe seeing that graphic. But that's him, isn't it? As soon as something happens, he wants to be, you know, in there and on the socials. And like you say, he's got to earn that right again. He doesn't just drop in for a title shot, does he?
That's
the other way of looking at it. Yeah, of course, financially, he's still going to be the one that they all want to fight. Because they're going to make the most money. So yeah, you have got that dichotomy as well, haven't you? You know, in regards to Mr. McGregor. Sound like Mr. McGregor's garden.
Oh, Peter Rabbit. Gardener.
But that's another thing for another day.
Yes. Listen, they both have had fantastic journeys between Oliveira and Dustin Poirier. They both had fantastic journeys to get where they were. You know, you've got to feel sorry for Dustin Poirier because there's two title shots he's had now. Okay, he lost to Khabib. You can't complain about that. He's the best in the world. But he's battled his way to the title shot again, only to come up, you know, seconds again with another choke, you know, another submission loss. Where he goes from here, I hope he doesn't retire because a lot of people, and I think he said he needs to look in the mirror and work things out. But I he's still young enough, and I think there's still a lot of fights he can have. He's got obviously going to have to rematch a few people because he's beaten most of the people in that division. I feel sorry for him in that way because it must be disheartening. But, you know, I hope he doesn't go away and retire. I hope he comes back next year fresh and then, you know, we can pick up where he last left off.
What a lovely gesture from Poirier as well, donating $20,000. I did see over to Oliveira for, you know, a chosen charity of his choice. I think it was to help where he lived in Brazil somewhere. He's given him $20,000.
I think Charles did the same for the Dustin Poirier Foundation.
Right, okay, well. Okay. That's good to see, isn't it, Chris? Have we got any comments, Chris? Are we moving on? Do we need to close out? Hello, it's Mr. Clapper. I'm having trouble finding Big Fight Weekly on TikTok. I've only done one for the wrestling show so far, but we'll do one.
You can be in charge of it. I don't touch TikTok. I'm too old for that shit.
I'll do it. I'll do some little clips. And Lewis Young, hello, Lewis. I've just hit my cable out, my bloody headphones here. But yeah, hello, Lewis. I've seen you been busy over the week and that, out and about. So yeah, good to have you on as always, Mr. Young.
We are moving on, Paul.
Now, Chris, I said it was the widest on the betting odds probably for the year, maybe in a long, long time. And somebody put $385,000 on Juliana Peña to beat Amanda Nunes, Chris.
I did see.
And oh my days, I bet they have made an absolute fortune putting that amount down as well. But yeah, Chris, I was not expecting this. You were not expecting this. We have a new women's world champion in Juliana Peña. And she went toe-to-toe with her, Chris, which a lot of people haven't done. You know, have previous fighters been scared because they've been swarmed by her. At the heart from Juliana there, you know, we all wrote her off. We all wrote her off. You know, Amanda's been so dominant. You know, why wouldn't you go with Amanda Nunes pre-fight? But Chris, we had a shock. Joe Rogan and Daniel Cormier couldn't believe it on commentary. Mm. So yeah, what did you think of the fight and you know, probably the shock of the year, for the probably the shock of many, many years in the UFC?
I put this on the same par as Matt Serra and George St. Pierre, if I'm completely honest with you. That's how shocked I was when, you know, I watched it the next day. Listen, I was bemused with Amanda Nunes's gas tank in the second round. You could clearly see her mouth was wide open. And she looked like she was struggling. You know, she did well in the first round. You know, she dropped her. She took initiative, took her down. You know, I just thought, right, this is just the inevitable now. She's just going to pick her apart. Because like I say, Juliana Peña throws some wild strikes. They're not very calculated, but, you know, they've got the job done on the night. But she's very wild with the strikes and she's very heavy when she throws them. So what I mean is, like, they're quite from the shoulder upwards, where, you know, a lot of people with striking are very technical and it's more zippy, and they're a bit lower when they throw the strikes. But yeah, she just connected with Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes was absolutely struggling. The finish as well, I think, annoys me. I don't know about you, but I didn't feel like that choke was in properly, and I felt like Amanda Nunes quit very quickly when I feel like she could have fought the hands. It didn't look like the choke was under the chin. And yes, and I know rear naked chokes under the chin are as painful as, you know, as they are when they're under the neck. But, I was a bit bemused as well with that finish, because I just thought she tapped very quickly without really, you know, trying to fight herself out of the position. But, you know, she has had COVID. I don't want to use that as an excuse, but, you know, I've had it and I know how it feels, but I'm not an athlete, so I can't go as far as how she feels. But, yeah, I just couldn't understand, because she just looked like she either didn't train or she took Peña lightly.
I think the latter, and that's not taking anything away from Juliana Peña.
No, not at all.
She was going toe to toe. All right, as you say, Nunes was out on her feet really at that point, but you know, there were still shots coming back. But that, I think it just showed that was maybe the blueprint. You've got to go at her where she swarmed people. Have they been too tentative, you know, and not tried to have a go? And it's got a rank, as you say. It does rank up there with GSP and Matt Serra all those years ago. I wish I'd put some money on it, but we obviously have Nunes winning it, like the majority of people.
There was a comment I watched back our show the other day, and I said, like, when we talk about this fight, and I'm like, oh, you know, the only way Amanda Nunes is gonna lose this if she has a really bad night. Fucking hell, mate, she had a bad night. Nah. I must have ruined it for her. I shouldn't have said that. But
Chael Sonnen picked Pena, and we know how bad he is with his pickems.
No, no, he curses everyone, Chael Sonnen.
And he managed to get it right. I wonder if he put some money on it.
Yeah, possibly.
Because we know how bad Chael is. When I brought Chael up, previous episode, do not go with him. You know, he gets them wrong, but he's got one right. He got one right to his credit, Chris.
Well, eventually he's going to get one right, isn't he? I love Chael Sonnen, though. That's no knock on him.
Yeah, I love Chael. Love Chael.
Listen, this is good. And I said to you last week, and I said that, you know, this would, if Julia Pena was going to win, it would be really good for the division. But I don't know how she's going to fare in the rematch, because obviously, you know, Amanda Nunes is going to have to go away and sort herself out and come back better, which I know 100% she will do. You know, the fight might be different in the rematch, but, you know, this also opens the door for one Valentino Shevchenko, Stuart. And I know Juliana Pena's fought Shevchenko before as well, and lost to Shevchenko, which, you know, is what it is, because she's one of the GOATs as well. Maybe we could get Shevchenko up there if Amanda Nunes is not ready, and we can force this trilogy. If Shevchenko's to beat Pena, you know, if these sort of doors and sort of the alignment works, Shevchenko could get back in there if the doors open. If Amanda Nunes is not ready, I'd happily see Shevchenko versus Juliana Pena too.
The foundation's laid, isn't it? You know, there's a couple of bouts then off it. So yeah, that it has really helped. And yeah, what a victory! What a victory for her! You know,
brilliant.
She wasn't doing bad. You know, she had quite a decent record, didn't she, in more recent fights, Pena? To be fair, I know she's been around for quite a while, but yeah, it's just when someone upsets the odds, and I couldn't get over them on commentary. Anik kind of kept himself, you know, as play-by-play, didn't he?
Yeah,
kept his emotions.
Yeah.
And Joe Rogan thanked him for that. He said, because me and DC were just all over the place when it happened, which you would be, wouldn't you? You know, you're on analysis and you're watching that. And yeah, I couldn't believe it, Chris. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was just like, I was shocked. As you said, you know, the shock is the word there. That's the word of the day on this one.
But listen, you can't take anything away from Juliana Pena. She fought hard for it. You know, I mean, even when she got dropped, and Amanda Nunes took control in the first round, she came back swinging. And, you know, the game plan was to get in her face and not let everything go. And she surely did that. The takedown she got Amanda Nunes as well, like the judo flip to where she got her back from it, absolutely superb. You saw like the really good sort of wrestling credentials of Pena in that fight. You know, like I say, the finish was a bit off because I think Amanda Nunes, I mean, she was really tired at that point and couldn't take any more. I just think, you know, when you put people in the GOAT status, you expect them to fight a bit more instead of tapping quickly. But, you know, like I say, take nothing away from Juliana Pena. Fantastic victory. She shocked the world. And, you know, let's just hope she keeps the belt, actually. And let Amanda Nunes fight whoever's up at featherweight for the ladies.
She backed herself as well. She was very confident. We were like, oh, you know, she was confident, though, wasn't she? You know,
yeah, but that
pre-fight, she had confidence, and that has definitely had played a factor. There's no question. Chris, anything else to add on this one? Anything comment wise? Are we moving on?
No comments so far for this, but hats off to Juliana Pena. Dead impressed with that.
Also, just a little side note: if anyone's got a fighter of the year and they want to comment with their fight of the year, that'd be lovely as well. Just a little something extra. Just one person that, you know, stood out for you this year. Me and Chris will probably say who ours are after. But yeah, Chris, moving on. You did call this one. I think you had Kai Kara-France beating Cody Garbrandt. You know, you said about him cutting the weight. He looked big at the weight. But Kai Kara-France, Chris, when he put him down the first time and Garbrandt gestured to him, I was like, this is only going one way now. It was the gesture, wasn't it? When he told him to come at him. I know he took him down. I know he took him down, Chris, as well, to Garbrandt at that point. But yeah, I think that was the green light then for Kara-France to just swarm him, wasn't it, off the initial knockdown.
What a strike for Kara-France's first strike to put Garbrandt on his back. Well, I thought Garbrandt was out cold when he hit him initially because he just looked so limp, stiff, sorry, should I say, when he was going back after Carver France hit him the first time. Yeah, I get that. He suggested to, you know, come bring some more to me. He attempted to take down Garbrandt. Carver France got back up. Yeah. And I think he absolutely obliterated Cody Garbrandt on the stand-up. Garbrandt couldn't get near him, couldn't get any of those sort of hooks off that he's won so dominantly with before in the bantamweight division. He just looked, I don't know, what can I say? I think he looks done to me, Cody Garbrandt. I think he's took too much damage. He looks like someone that I think really needs to sort of pull away from it because I worry for his health going forward. If he's going to take, you know, knockout after knockout,
there's no defense, Chris. It's defense. No, it's awful.
That's what he does.
It's awful. You know, even like, you know, when he had his hands up, like it was just, you know, where someone would be quite defensive, and the shots are coming in. Now I'm thinking you're just not, like you say, he's too aggressive. But in the same token, you got to have a bit of defense, and to his detriment, it's letting down, isn't it, over the years.
Garbrandt's always been take one to give one. That's always been Cody Garbrandt's sort of thing. But, you know, back in a few years ago, not say back in the day, because he's not really been on the scene for that long. You know, but originally, you know, Cody Garbrandt could take a punch. And then when he gives you the punch, he was knocking these people out. And he was doing it fantastically all the way up to when he beat Dominic Cruz. And he outfought Dominic Cruz. And we'll get to Dominic Cruz later. But, you know, he outsmarted the guy who outsmarts everybody else when it comes to the stand-up and the feet movement. And he did that to Dominic Cruz. He lost to Dillashaw twice and really hasn't got back to where that Cody Garbrandt was, you know, when he fought Dominic Cruz. I just worry for him health-wise if he continues to take these sort of strikes, continues to get knocked out, TKO'd. You know, I mean, you're worried to where he's, you know, where he's going to be at when he's a bit older, you know, his brain activity. But you take nothing away from Kai Kara-France because he was fantastic. He knew what he wanted to do, and he wanted that knockout, and he did it superbly. And don't forget, it wasn't just one. He didn't drop him once. He didn't drop him twice. He dropped him three times. But it looked absolutely fantastic. And I said to you this about him last week. He's fluid. He stalks his prey, but he's very good at when he's going to throw his strike. He's always setting something up. And Cody Garbrandt built to it. Yeah,
it was calculated at all times, wasn't it, Chris? He wasn't gung-ho all the time. You can see that he's thinking about what he's doing. Also, he's had that many fights, Chris. We looked at it last week with the graphic. You know, he's got 30-plus fights. He's like doubled what Garbrandt's, you know, had in terms of pro fights. So it's a great advert for the little guy again, isn't it? You know, the smaller guy, should I say, that you can go in there against someone bigger, you know, frame-wise. I know he's cut the weight to go down, but it's a great advert for guys that are, you know, the smaller guys in the division say that's what I would take away from it. It can give them a lot of a lot of heart looking at Kai Kara-France's performance. Yeah, but
also you got to remember Cejudo did it to Dillashaw.
Yeah.
And you know, Cejudo obviously two weight division wasn't champion, but he was also very, very calculated what he did, used his wrestling and he got better with striking, obviously just very cocky and you know what I mean, that's just what Henry Cejudo is. But don't knock the little guys. You know what I mean? I don't know where, if you ask me where Cody Garbrandt goes now, I you know what I mean, I don't really know. I think I saw one person put out maybe him and Marlon Moraes. Makes sense. I think he probably needs to take a long break and really figure out what he wants to do. I don't think he really should be carrying on the way he is because
he'll
gonna
be great
bad when he's older.
He'll make a great coach. You know, he's fought. Look at his fought and all that. You know, I'm sure he could go that route if needs be. If he is going to call it time, you know, he's a very he'd be a fantastic coach for these young ones, definitely. And it's Ramel. You've been with us right the way through too. It's been great having your comments through this year since February, Ramel. Honestly, thank you, mate. Thank you for all the support.
Yeah, definitely.
It's great having you on. All the times when we've been on later over here, you know, it's been early hours there in the Philippines. You've been right with us, mate. I know Chris has done a live with you when the UFC's been on, and that'd be great.
He's come on the show as well.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I do. I apologise. You were a guest on the show as well. So, yeah, we'll definitely have you back on in the new year, Ramel. That'd be brilliant having you back on, getting your perception of everything that's going on in the fight world. And Chris, are we moving on?
Sean O'Malley.
the phenom, you know, this guy, Sean O'Malley, Chris, against Raulian Paver, the Brazilian, first round KO, fantastic performance again. We love his fighting style. We love his fighting style. He's a hybrid, just his movement, Chris. And another win. I think now they do need to step up who he's going to be fighting. I did see online, Chris, he would love to take on Aldo. He's got a lot of respect for Aldo. So, yeah, your thoughts on his performance, firstly, and then secondly, we'll look into where he could go next.
Also, actually, Ron, why are you watching us? Give us your thoughts on your favourite boxing and MMA fight throughout the whole of 2021.
Brilliant. Yeah, perfect.
Right, regards to the fight, I thought Sean O'Malley was fantastic. He weathered the sort of Pavia's sort of takedowns. Pavia couldn't really get strikes off, really, on Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley was fantastic. He picked apart Rapava really well with striking. He used his seat kicks as well to just get that the distance between them. He just picked him apart. He just did what he does, and his striking is really formidable when he's in that mood where he can dance on his front toes, and he can pot shot you here, pot shot you there, make you react to his strikes as well, which he did to Pava. And then obviously he caught him, got him up against the fence, and then unloaded. Fantastic. Really impressed with Sean O'Malley. He just needs now, as we said last week, a bigger opponent. Just to see where his ceiling is. Aldo is a good shout, but I want Cruz Aldo. That's really what I want.
who would you like Mr. O'Malley to go in with, Chris? You know, if it was you booking it, you're the booker. You're the booker at the UFC. Who's whetting your appetite for him to come, you know, toe-to-toe with?
I'd like him to rematch Chico Vera.
Okay.
That would be a good fight. Chico Vera looked fantastic. You look what he did to Frankie Edgar. But also, I have a case for Frankie Edgar. Not now because... I'm not saying because where Frankie Edgar is at the moment in his fighting career. And I know it's dwindling for him. But I think that would be a good test. He's a veteran. He's all about the pressure, Frankie Edgar. You've got to... Obviously, his wrestling base is fantastic. You know what I mean? He knows how to set people up as well. It'd be a passion of the torch.
That would be, you know, that's how I term it. Yeah, just he's got so much about him, this lad. It's incredible. When you think you've seen it all and you've seen a different style and just how he does it with ease, the easiness. He's just a joy to watch in there. You're transfixed with him almost. Just like, I just love the way he moves around that octagon, Chris.
It looks like we'll be getting a Cody Garbrandt Sean O'Malley fight now. After that, will we? that could have been interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, listen, either one of them, you know, Chico Vera rematch, Frankie Edgar, just so he can get that test of the person who's been in there and done it. But you know, I know Frank Edgar is dwindling, and people might look at it as an easier fight for Sean O'Malley. Mm. But I don't think it would be. I think Frank Edgar would test him.
Can he win the title, Sean O'Malley? Can he win the title, Chris? That's what I want to say. That's quite a pertinent one, isn't it?
Very possible, but I need to see him up against the world class, the elite level. I need to see him again. I need to see him up against, you know, the likes of Peter Yan, who's effectively going to beat Aljo. But because Peter Yan's probably got the best boxing in the UFC. But I think, you know, no one could really argue with that. I know people would, but I don't think they can. Who else is the... Sanhagen? That would be a style fight, you know?
That would be a cracker. Absolutely, yeah. I'd be down for that as well.
Yeah, but like Dominic Cruz is there as well. Don't forget, elbows. Yeah. I mean,
we're going to get to him in a minute.
Oh yeah, these guys are good tests for Sean O'Malley. He does need that test though. I need to see him have a test. If I can see him against someone, let's just say Chico Vera. Chico Vera's gone, you know, is really stepped it up. And I know he's fought before, but I think Chico Vera's got better since. That would be a really good test to see where his ceiling is. I'd be happy to see that. But, you know, the future's bright for Sean O'Malley. He's got the pickings now. And he's so chilled. And I like that. You know, there's no stress with him. Just takes it as it goes.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Mr. Sean O'Malley still on the upward trajectory in the division. And, yeah, we look for sterner, tougher tests for him. Chris has obviously laid out who, who he'd like to see. There's many, you know, many opponents, many foes for him. And Sophia Stevens, Voy FYI, Chris?
No, I don't.
Is that cryptic? Is that cryptic, that one?
I don't know.
Sophia, explain that. Because me and Chris are like, what does that mean? For your information at the end there, that's what I've taken from that one.
Yeah, yeah, I have no idea.
And Chris, the veteran of MMA, veteran of the UFC now, Dominic Cruz, which I thought Pedro Munhoz had done enough there in the first round to put him out. But what heart from Dominic Cruz. And he really settled, didn't he, in rounds two and three. A fantastic, you know, performance because he was at odds there in the first round. Munhoz came in, didn't he? Tried to steamroll him, you know, put him down. And a fantastic, fantastic second and third round from Dominic Cruz. His veteran instincts, I would say, helped him massively to get the victory in the end.
Yeah, that and his skill set, his unorthodox sort of his movement, his footwork is what got him the win effectively in this fight, Stuart. This is like old school sort of Cruz. Mine is getting caught because obviously he got caught twice, got dropped twice, recovered really quickly and took control of the fight. The in and outs of Dominic Cruz is fantastic. I couldn't imagine facing him as a fighter and trying to work out that foot movement, you know, to try and come in with a punch or try and come with a hook, an overhand, a straight jab, because if you're missing, he's hitting you with two or three strikes and then coming back out. And you're chasing him back around again. No, he's absolutely fantastic for a guy who's 38, not really taking that much damage. He's just had, you know, really terrible injuries. He's taken on, you know, Pedro Munhoz, who looks so good recently. You know, he had a really good fight with Aldo. Aldo did the same, used the outside, came in, came back out, circled, came in, came back out. You know, and I'd say Aldo hits harder than Pedro Munhoz, but Munhoz, you know, he stood the whole fight, you know, tried to sort of get the win over Aldo. This fight, he just struggled from the second and third round onwards. Couldn't lay a glove on Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz was coming in, hitting him with a 1-2, maybe, you know, and then coming back out. Oh, it was fantastic. If Dominic Cruz had a bit of power, he'd be even more dangerous because the amount of volume he comes in and comes out with and bewilders the sort of the fighter he's fighting against because he's so quick, he's so precise. But he's that quick out the door before you turn around to throw a punch again. You know what I mean? It's like chasing shadows with Dominic Cruz.
And these two had trained years ago as well. There was a bit of a backstory I heard on commentary. So they're good, you know, they're good friends as well. But yeah, just it was rolling back the years. Dominic Cruz, as you say, you know, he struggled with the injuries. He would have had a lot more fights, wouldn't he? But still fantastic, Chris. And different, another one who's different inside the octagon, isn't he? The way he does
smart.
It.
IQ is absolutely fantastic. But I want to see Aldo versus Dominic Cruz. UFC need to get this done next year. I just think people would love this fight because it's, you know, it's WBC, isn't it? And it's like, you know, these two guys were the top guys, you know, from WBC that came into UFC. They were unbeaten for so long as well. I want to see it. I just think why we've got the opportunity and why they're both in the division and why they're both running high in their careers currently. It did make so much sense to put these two together. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
We will. Fantastic victory for Dominic Cruz. As I said, rolling back the years. Great performance. You know, he was in trouble there in round one. He did fantastic. Yeah. He did fantastic in rounds two and three, and it was good to see him. Also, fantastic analyzer for the UFC as well. He is. I always like his commentary, Chris. He's fantastic at that as well. So, yeah, a big win. As you say, hopefully he gets matched with Aldo in 2022. So we'll look forward to that. If it gets made, then it quite possibly could. And moving on, Chris, to this weekend's UFC Fight Night. Is it closing out the year, Chris? We haven't got an end of year card, no?
No, this is it, mate. This is the final card of the year.
Derek Lewis versus Chris Daukaus as well. You know, Daukaus is quite well ranked, isn't he, as well, I noticed. And as you can see, as you can see there in the poster, 31 KOs combined. Someone is going to sleep this weekend. But Chris, who will it be? Are we going with Derek Lewis with the KO?
It depends on what Derek Lewis we get. If we get the Derek Lewis that showed up against Cyril Garn, then probably not. If we get an all-fired, confident, wanting to win, up for it, Derek Lewis, yes, we most definitely could see a knockout win for him. Chris Daukaus, though, he's an up-and-comer as well. Very powerful, but very good with wrestling as well. And, you know, Derek Lewis struggles with the sort of those sort of aspects. I think he's faster, not with striking, but I think his movement's faster than Derek Lewis is. I know a lot of people would say most of the division's faster than Derek Lewis. He's like just a tank, isn't he? He's maybe slow, but when he hits you, you go to sleep. I can't see him knocking Derek Lewis out, though. I haven't seen many people knocking Derek Lewis out. You know, he's a big, big guy. I feel like if Derek Lewis was to lose this, it would be losing by TKO or decision because he's not up for it. He needs to get a win back after losing to Cyril Garn, doesn't he? So I think I can see Derek Lewis winning this. I think it's going to be quite topsy-turvy. They both could rock each other. But I feel like, you know, Derek Lewis has got the more power. And he only has to hit you once, Derek Lewis, and can turn your lights off just like that. That's the worrying thing with, you know, when you're facing someone like Derek Lewis. And I like Derek Lewis. He's a character, and he can get behind Derek Lewis. Not saying Chris Daukaus isn't, but, you know, we all know Derek Lewis a bit more than we do Chris Daukaus. But I'd like a Derek Lewis win just because he's a fan favourite, and you know, you want him to get back up the rankings after the last loss against Cyril Garn.
The graphic looks good. It matches with our colour scheme. Like, it's inverted, the colours. Hey, well picked there, Chris. Well picked with that graphic. Yeah, it looks nice. But yeah, I'm going with Derek. I'm going with Derek. Seen Chris Daukaus in a few fights, but I think Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis has been in some big matches. You know, he's took on the best in the division. So I'm veering towards Lewis. Anybody on the undercard, Chris, for that one? Was there anything undercard that you wanted to talk about on that one on the weekend?
Give me a second.
Stephen Thompson, Chris, and Bilal Muhammad. So we know we're quite well, you know, well versed with Bilal Muhammad. We've seen him this year.
Cub Swanson versus Darren Elkins. That's an old school classic fight. Rafael Sunchal versus Rickon Simon. That's also a very, very good fight. Stephen Thompson versus Bilal Muhammad. Brilliant fight. Obviously, Raquel Pennington's on the card there as well. Listen, Stephen Thompson, Bilal Muhammad, it's an interesting fight because obviously Stephen Thompson, I think he fight last? Gilbert Burns, I think it was, wasn't it? And he lost to Gilbert Burns, which is, again, one of them. Gilbert Burns is on the rise, even though he lost to Usman. But Usman, again, is the GOAT, and, you know, not many people can challenge him at the moment. This is a good test for Bilal Muhammad. I think Leon Edwards was a test for him, but obviously that eye poke sort of ruined the fight, didn't it? But Stephen Thompson's a mainstay. Stephen Thompson's been in there with pretty much everybody. In a very awkward fighter, Stephen Thompson, with his kickboxing style. And he throws up some kicks that you don't see coming. A bit like, you know, like Cerrone used to do when Cerrone was in his heyday. Difficult for Bilal Muhammad, but also I feel like, you know, Bilal Muhammad, he's got the striking, he's got the ground as well, which Stephen Thompson isn't really familiar or fantastic with, but, you know, he has got better with that aspect. But this is a test for Bilal Muhammad to see where he can go. Then this is a test to see if Stephen Thompson still can remain in the top 10 of the welterweight division.
Absolutely. Yeah, the card is solid. The last card of the year for the UFC. So you get to see that Saturday into Sunday here in the UK. And Chris, we are at the midpoint of the show, and we've got to say about our friend Jake Paul. Well, we call him our friend, but he's not our friend.
And don't want him to be my friend.
Tyron Woodley too. I'm waiting for Brett in the comments, Chris, on this one. So yeah, it is this weekend. We've obviously lost Tommy Fury. Tyron came back in, as we found out last week. Chris, are we still saying Woodley gets beaten? Have you changed your mind?
No, not changed my mind. I think that Jake Paul, you keep giving people like him the longer time to learn the boxing and get better at boxing. is going to become an issue. Not saying for the top guys, of course, he's not going to become an issue for them. But you know, for people like Tyron Woodley, who I don't know why he's even fighting him other than for the money. I think he's going to become a problem. Issues for people like Tommy Fury, because they're letting him learn more boxing. He's learning more about, you know, the stand up, the movement, the head movement. And I think giving people like this opportunity to learn is a mistake. If you want to beat them, you need to beat them early and embarrass them so they don't come back. Tyron Woodley had that opportunity, didn't he, back in August? He did catch Jake Paul flush with one, but then didn't carry on. They just let him bounce back off the ropes. And Jake Paul sort of jabbed his head off them for the rest of the fight. Tyron Woodley, he froze, didn't he? As he always does. We call him the frozen one instead of the chosen one. Because he struggles to throw up punches. And again, I have to go back to Damian Maia, the fight against Damian Maia. And he was so lackluster. Yes, he won the fight. But, you know, you've got the power. You've got the athleticism. And he just farted around with Damian Maia for the whole five rounds for that. And then he questions why he isn't liked in the UFC. But they want entertainment. I can't see this going anywhere different. I think Jake Paul will probably stop Woodley in this fight as well, personally.
Okay, no.
2 weeks. 2 weeks notice, a week's notice. I don't know how long he's had the notice for.
Well, that's it. They obviously had this. They had this ready, didn't they?
This was in the can.
No sooner had Tommy pulled out. This was. They were going for the second fight, weren't they? So yeah, they had. They had. There was some rumbling somewhere, surely, because they had this one ready. Or it might have just been in reserve the whole time. You know,
yeah.
might have always had it there. Injuries are always a factor, aren't they? But yes, Chris, I don't know if I'm going to get up for it. Now, I was going to get up if Tommy was fighting.
That's different.
I'm not getting up for this. I tell you what, Darren Till did give him a little bit of praise. He was at an MMA show over the weekend, and IFL had an interview with Darren Till. And he goes, I've got to be fair, he can box about Jake Paul and, you know, the money side and all that. But he said, if he wants to take me on, we can do it and all this. This is Darren Till.
I love Darren Till. He's one of ours. But he's not a boxer. He's a Muay Thai. And Jake Paul would beat Darren Till as well because he'd outwork him. Because you've got to realise these guys are coming into the boxing world. Jake Paul's not like, you know, he's not amazing. He's not blowing out the water. But he's got a head start over any MMA fighter that wants to jump in and fight him in boxing. Unless, you know, you are, say, like Francis Ngannou, who can only have to punch you once and kill him. But, you know, we're never going to see bloody Jake Paul versus Francis Ngannou, are we? You know what I mean? The likelihood of that, unless Francis wants to get paid. But, yeah, I don't want to see fight MMA fighters because it ruins the name of mixed martial arts every time you see someone from UFC, Bellator, ONE FC, PFL, you know, want to jump in with Jake Paul and they get beaten. And it just it muddies the water of MMA because people think, oh, well, these MMA guys, you look at MMA and they're knocking these guys out. But when they come to boxing, you know what I mean, they shit the bed. And then I don't like that because, I mean, mixed martial arts is completely different to boxing. Absolutely different.
Absolutely, absolutely. Different dimensions for a start off. Just the whole thing, your footwork, the way you move around. But yeah, Chris is going with Jake Paul to win again, get a second victory.
Yeah, what about you?
Tyron Woodley. Oh, I hate to say it. I'm with you on this one. It's as you say, I think the only reason Woodley's doing it is for another payday because he knows he'll get it.
And, he could catch him, though. He could catch him.
Just pull the trigger this time. If you do rock him, just finish him off. But and it begs the question: what will happen next year? Who will Jake Paul come up against next year? So you'll have, you know, we'll be talking points off the back of it. Will Tommy be back, ready, fit, and able to do it?
Will he give him a fight back?
Yeah, that's it. So questions. For next year, absolutely. So yeah, that is also happening this weekend. So yeah, we won't be covering that because we're not back till next year now. But yeah, I'm sure we'll be active on the socials about how we felt the fight went. That'll be the best way.
As you say it, Stuart, all our socials are going along the screen here at the bottom. So, you know what I mean? Obviously, we're not here next week. We're off. We're back next year. But we will be commenting. And you've got our Facebook coming in here. You've got our Twitter. We'll be commenting on those. We'll be writing stuff. posting stuff. So, you know, we will still have our opinion out there. So feel free to, you know, join us on our socials on Twitter and Facebook, you know, and join in with us. If you see something we posted, feel free to comment as well.
And moving on, Chris, unless there's comments.
No. Nope,
we're going straight in. The boxing from Liverpool this weekend, Matchroom on DAZN. And Conor Benn, again, with another fantastic performance, Chris. Fourth round KO of Chris Algieri, obviously veteran at welterweight. Chris Algieri had been fighting since 2008 at pro level. And, you know, a lot of people say it's just, you know, cannon fodder. I didn't necessarily look at it like that. It's another test for Conor Benn. He's still continental champion, but it's getting him up now to the world level. I've heard Adrian Broner's name. I think Conor Benn beats Adrian Broner. I really do. I think this guy has got some serious power. You know, he's just taken out Vargas. He's taken out Algeri now. I think he beats Broner all day long. He's going to get a world title. I'm going to say it now. Conor Benn will be world champion. I'm telling you. I can just tell. I can just tell a mile off. I think he's got it all. He's got the power, first and foremost. He's laying people out, and some people are saying he won't do it, but I am of the opinion he will get to world title level just off the basis of how he's been, especially in the last couple of fights. Really impressive. Yeah. Just
that, that knockout was dirty, Stuart. That knockout was dirty. Algeri was not. It was out as soon as that punch landed. It was just gone, and that's power. You know, a lot of people can shut the lights off with one punch. You know, I mean, not a lot of people have that in their arsenal. You know, they have to sort of use their volume. Conor Benn's got that in his arsenal. That is just, you know, it's a worry for any fighter that steps in there and takes one flush with Conor Benn, unless they have a seriously granite chin. But yeah, you've seen a lot more of him, so you know where you think, you know, his ceiling
is. There's Adrian Granados as well. You know, he's 25 years old as well. I just feel, you know, he's got his dad behind him. One of the greatest British boxers of all time, one of the best European boxers. You know, what else is there to say? And he really has. He's pushed it. He's gone better than I thought he was at the age he is now. I thought it would have been another few years until he was getting in around this area. But you know, he's taking on some of the best in the division. I just feel he's gonna get a title. I can just feel it. Can you
in your head? I'd probably use your heart as well if you like. Can he beat Crawford? Can he beat Errol Spence?
He's going to have to box amazingly. You know, we got your Dennis Ugas, Pacquiao's conquering. He's put Pacquiao into retirement. He's around as well. Not to say that's like the easy fight there. That's not going to be easy either. But this, I just feel he's world title worthy. You know, it's my head ruling my heart with that as well. It's not my heart ruling. You know, it's that way around. I've seen so much boxing over the last 30 years or so to know. I can just tell.
You get that feeling with someone.
Eddie Hearn is promoting him very well, and they're just stepping up the opponents. You know, Vargas was probably a more trickier opponent than Algeri. You know, Algeri's been out the spotlight a little bit. He's been doing other things. So, you know, Sam Vargas has been in with some of the best at welterweight as well. And there's just something about this lad, honestly. And at 25, he's still so young. Do you know what I mean? It's not as if he's 30, getting into his 30s, and he's having to do it. Just that the future's bright for this lad. There's no question. And Matchroom, you know, promoting him is a fantastic thing. And I don't really want to say too much more because it was just
before we jump away from Conor Benn, I just wanted to mention I watched his fight after watch UFC, and I loved how impatient he was. He wasn't guns blazing. He was picking his shots. You wanted that hook. You could see he wanted that. Oh, well, it's overhanded right, really, wasn't it? But he wanted that shot, that punch. And he was looking for it, but he wasn't sort of making it obvious. He was patient. He was patient enough when it sort of appeared, when Algeri made that mistake, and the opening was there. He took it. You can't be not impressed with Conor Benn.
Absolutely. Well put, Chris. Well put. Yeah, so we'll look forward to seeing what happens to Conor Benn in 2022. One of the best in the UK, Europe, one of the best in the world at welterweight now. There's no question of that. And look forward to seeing where him and Nigel go with his career. It's going to be amazing. And yes, on to ladies again. Back to the ladies. And Katie Taylor retains all the gold, Chris. But it was a tricky 10-rounder. But I have said scrappy in the headline. But again, rounds are going to help her. We saw it when she fought Delphine Persoon, the Belgian at the fight camp place that they did match room, and then she rematched with her and had the better performance in the second fight. Sometimes I think you need rounds. You know, I'm probably doing a disservice saying scrappy, but sometimes you're going to be in a scrap fest, aren't you, in the fight game?
Yeah, but it's all about minutes, isn't it? Tom Aspinall is the example you can use here. It's minutes, and you know, when you get to these harder fights and the bigger people you have to fight against, you have all that experience that you've been in a scrappier fight with someone, but you've had the minutes and you've learned lessons and you've gained lessons throughout these longer fights, and she probably learned more about herself in this fight than she did in the last one. So going into whoever she fights next, I think it's they're trying to get that woman that's in Jake Paul's camp. I can't remember what her name is now. But she's a champion as well, apparently. So I've seen Ari Helwani mention it on Twitter last night, actually. But, I mean, she's fantastic. The fights we've watched of her this year, I think it's the third fight that we've covered of Katie Taylor. She impresses me. I think a lot of the ladies' fights that we've covered throughout this year have really impressed me. It's, you know, on the boxing side,
Savannah Marshall, a month or two ago, she was fantastic in her fight. She's obviously got Clarissa Shields coming up, hasn't she, next year. So yeah, they're two. I put Clarissa Shields in that bracket as well in boxing terms for her. I know MMA hasn't been fantastic for her, but in boxing, you know, there's a lot of women coming through, and Katie Taylor's been a great patron for female boxing. There's no question. And you know, you can have fights like this. It's Isaac Heffernan. Hello. Hi, lads. Late arrival. I'll have to go on playback. Yeah, mate, if you want, you can go on Spotify and listen to us back, Apple Podcasts. If you don't want to, you know, watch us on YouTube, we'll be on there. I'll upload it later. But yeah, nice one for getting in. You still got the last 10 minutes maybe, so it's okay, pal. Isaac. Cheers, Isaac, just a comment actually from you. Who was your fight of the year? You can only pick one.
Either sport, though, MMA or boxing.
Yeah, MMA or boxing, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Chris, I think we'll move on to this weekend's action. Another matchroom card on DAZN, and it's a rematch at heavyweight. Derek Del Boy Chisora versus Parker. Again, Joseph Parker. Chris, the first fight, Chisora won for me. It was very, there was a lot of people saying he was screwed in that one in the first fight. But they'll do it all again from the 8-0 Arena in Manchester. So another Northwest venue for DAZN, as they were in Liverpool last weekend. But yeah, Chris, Chisora with his pressure, I think if he fights the same way, he's going to win. And a lot of people said his pressure was that good, it should have won in the fight. But Parker got the W. So yeah, big stakes for these two guys. It's probably going to be a title shot somewhere down the line after this one.
Well, we've still got a lot to clear up on the title side of things, haven't we, really? I agree. I thought Chisora won it. But we talk about Chisora's pressure. We have to go back to the fight he had with Usyk. And I think he gave Usyk the most problems and trouble. Yeah. I don't think anyone's given Usyk that much trouble, because it was the pressure that Chisora brings. I like Joseph Parker, though. You know what I mean? I think more people know him more because when he fought AJ... but you know, we've seen him a lot more and more domestic fights these days, don't we, since that fight he had with AJ. But I think I like Chisora. I mean, there's no shit about it, is that he comes to fight.
He's a good fighter. Hard as nails, tough as nails, you know. He's had a fair few losses, but he's also had some fantastic nights. And, you know, he's boxed the best at heavyweight, whatever you want to say. He's fought Fury years ago as well. So, yeah, that's going to be a huge, huge night. Josh Buatsi is on the undercard as well. Our light heavyweight prospect. So, we've got him in action again. Josh Buatsi, we've covered him quite a lot. So, yeah, big, big card in Manchester, Chris. Just a brief one there. And we'll have some fallout through the socials for this, as this is the last show of the year. So, me and Chris will put our point across, probably across the socials in text format, in written format. But, yeah, Chris, who was your fighter of the year? And I know that's going to be hard to call.
It's a hard one, isn't it? I think I don't know, actually. It's a hard one. You know what I mean? There've been so many good fights. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who's been the fighter of the year, sort of in the MMA bracket. You would, you know what I mean? I think if Dustin Poirier won the title on the weekend, I think I would have gone with him, just because, you know. of all the shit he had to go through with Conor McGregor, but he beat him twice and he beat him convincingly. I don't care what you say about the ankle break. He was beating Conor McGregor before the ankle break. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you go with, maybe if we look at certain fights that fought more than once this year, it's hard to pick someone who's fought like once and said fight of the year. Maybe if I think if we look at it, maybe Kamaru Usman's fought several times this year. He's beaten Masvidal, he's beaten Kobe Covington, he's beaten Masvidal twice, don't you? In a space of 12 months, but he's definitely up there. Volkanovski, I can't really stick to one. Max Holloway looked fantastic this year. Ciryl Gane, Ngannou, you know, he won the title this year. There've been so many good ones. Amanda Nunes has looked okay till the weekend. Obviously, maybe you could give it to Julianna Pena for the shock of the world for what she did on the weekend. Maybe she should be fighter of the year because of, you know, she did something that no one, especially us, we didn't see coming. It's hard, you know what I mean? You just got to look back, you know. We started the year with Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. We ended pretty much the year with Dustin Poirier versus Charles Oliveira. So, you know, obviously you've got to put Charles Oliveira up there. Makhachev, you know, if he gets past De La Hoya, maybe he could be next year's. It's hard to pinpoint, Stuart, but, you know, there's been terrific fights. There's been some standout finishes. A lot to go into next year with, I think, who's going to be a champion, who's going to hold the title next year. So much to do, go on now from this year, and so many storylines to sort of, you know, to go through. I've enjoyed the year, I've enjoyed doing this, I've enjoyed sort of breaking down every fight. We haven't really had any bad fights either. Maybe November had a couple of piss poor cards, but two cards out of, you know, the year isn't too bad. Yeah, loved it. I can't pinpoint my fight
because there's only one man for me. I'll go back. He fought Callum Smith last December. So he's had four fights up to November. So I'm going to count the one last December as well. I know we're saying calendar year because he took Callum Smith's unbeaten record, did Canelo. He beat him. It was like, you know, it was expected. It went to unanimous decision, that one. Amvi Yildirim, you know, he was a boxing board.
It was after COVID, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, boxing board's choice, that was. He had to fight him. He was mandatory. He beat him. He retired him. And, you know, he's only lost twice, Yildirim. But, you know, that was one of them. Billy Joe Saunders was next, as we saw. And that was all the way back in May, Chris. And he took Billy Joe Saunders, you know, undefeated record as well. You know, naturally, it's just crazy. And then more recently, Caleb Plant to take all the belts at super middle from Canelo, and now he's moving on. He's going back up to light heavyweight. But then Usyk has called Canelo out at cruiserweight, so he might have one fight at light heavy, and then Usyk's going to come down. He says, "I won't be, you know, getting rid of my heavyweight titles, but I will go down to fight him at cruiserweight." But I've got to give it to Canelo to fight four times in 11 months, Chris. And he's by far and away the best, pound for pound. I could make a case for Usyk winning the belts, but with the frequency being in the ring, it's Canelo. Sal Canelo Alvarez was my fighter of the year for 2021.
Rob has rejoined us now.
Hello, Rob.
Who's your fighter of the year, Rob? Either boxing, MMA. Who's your fighter of the year? Well, actually, Rob, what was your fight of the year? Like I say, I find it hard to sort of pinpoint like my fighter of the year. I mean, I like to say Ciryl Gane for me is up there as well, you know, because you've got to look at, you know, what he's done in a short limited time. There's been some. I mean, I need to even look back now and think of some good fights. You know, we have to go back to last week, Stuart. Aldo Rob Font was an absolutely fantastic bomb burner of a fight. You know, we've seen some interesting ones. You know, the Max Holloway Rodriguez one again. I'm just going back to what's like. I'm sort of refreshing my mind here. That was fantastic. That was a close fight. Usman Covington, Stewart. Some people still split about that, actually. People are looking at maybe Covington win the last three. But we had the Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. You know, that was fantastic.
Smab how many fights we've covered since February, when you think about it. It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I think, you know, again, I could make a case for Tyson Fury, you know, beating Wilder again. But then, you know, if you'd have fought AJ this year, if that had have happened like it was meant to, and if he'd had a couple of fights, you know, that would have been amazing. Usyk for me. Love watching him rough up Joshua. Completely outboxed him. Yeah. Joshua hardly laid a glove on him, did he? Let's be honest. It was a fantastic performance. Fantastic on the night. There's been some great domestic fights as well this year. Hasn't there? Boxing. You know, we've covered so much. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. But yeah, there's been some fight of the year candidates. It's been amazing. Been an amazing year. You know, a lot of people say boxing's dead. I beg to differ. It's just a different time. All this celebrity nonsense, which I was on board, you know, with it, with if Tommy had been fighting him. What's tickled you, Chris?
No, you're slowly but surely getting on board with the whole YouTube.
who would have thought it in the summer of that when I was going off? But yeah, no, to be fair.
You've got to think about it. You're intrigued because, you know what I mean, like everybody else, say with like Conor McGregor, people hate him, people love him, you know what I mean? And people will get up and watch to see if he loses and then laugh when he does because that's, you know, that's the nature of people. You know, you might hate Jake Paul, but you've got to look at it. He draws people in. Yeah. And again, it's that case that people are paying. Or maybe they're not paying, but either way, they're watching him to see him lose. I can't say, you know, other than his own fans and Brett Thomas actually want to see him win. I don't want to see him win. I don't want to sit here every time we cover a Jake Paul fight and have to go and pick Jake Paul. I don't want to do that. But because, you know, we spend so much every week breaking down, analysing fights, I have to go with what I see in front of me. And, you know, that's why I picked him over Tommy Fury. I thought he'd be beating Tommy Fury. But yeah, you'll get drawn in for Logan Paul versus Mike Tyson next February if that all goes to plan, and we'll have to cover that. And you know, it's just the way our sport's going.
Have we had anything else in? Sorry to jump in.
No, it's fine. No, that's it, mate.
No, okay. Yeah, as you say, just it's been amazing, and we look forward to 2022 and what it brings in MMA and boxing. And yeah, it's been great. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to everyone this year supporting us, listening to us on the podcast apps as well now. You know, even people who've watched it after when they haven't had a chance to watch it live. All the comments, as you said earlier at the start of the show, Chris, you know, it really has. It's helped the show, hasn't it? We've had a lot of opinions, a lot of different ways of looking at it.
And the super chats as well.
Everything's been
great, Stuart. I love that you pushed me to do this, and you know what I mean. I think once I finish this, maybe a couple of weeks down the line, before we come back, I might watch our very first one and then and sort of analyze, you know, how far we've come. You know, I sat on the other side of the room with a beanie on, very, you know, I didn't know what to do really, because I love fights and I can talk MMA for days. I can, you know, you ask me a question, I can answer it for you, but you know, I think I was so timid at that point, and that's not like me, you know what I mean, and to sort of go to where we are now, where I can free flow. I'm doing it without notes. This is the fourth week I've done it. We're writing no notes whatsoever.
I told you this. It's like literally we wouldn't be as note intensive. We were down to bullet points, weren't we, for the most part? And then yeah, it's sometimes you do need a little bit of bullet points, I think, sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. It's just brilliant.
I've loved every minute of it.
I have too. And thank you to John and Rich as well, powerful.tv. Thank you very much allowing us to have the platform as well. And then obviously, yeah, we've got a separate Twitter page. We've got a separate YouTube channel as well. We'll still be on powerful.tv as well on the YouTube there. It's just another avenue. There's plenty going on. Chris, anything to end on here?
Got No, just like we've just alliterated like multiple times then is I can't thank all of you enough, Powered for Stuart Palmer, all you guys that comment and come in every week. Brett Thomas, you know.
Where is Terry, Brett?
I'm sure you'll comment in the section later on. But, you know.
Dan Terra Sports Inc, you were saying there, yeah. Can't forget him. Rachel Cornell.
Rambo that's been in and disappeared but comes back in now and again.
Carnage Payne,
yeah. And Pete Lighton who comes in now and again. There's so many of you. I can't remember everybody, but you know, I thank you all. You know, for following us on this journey. Obviously, we're not finished. We are coming back next year. We're going to come back even harder, stronger. We've got, you know, more things planned for next year for Big Fight Weekly. So obviously, stick with us. But we will be back. So don't forget about us in the 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Well put, Chris. Well surmised. Yeah, fantastic year. Later in the week, this episode will be on the apps as well. And just thank you to you all. And this has been episode 43 of Powerful.tv Big Fight Weekly. And we'll see you for episode 44 in January 2022. Enjoy your Christmas. Yeah. I hope it is nice and prosperous for you all. And just enjoy Christmas. Whether we're locked down or not, especially here in the UK. So this has been episode 43.
And I hope Santa brings everything you desire. See you in 2022.